Arizona News Radio, a Tucson man arrested after leading Pinal County Sheriff's deputies on a chase and trying to ram a patrol car.
You can't have somebody ramming into not just marked patrol units, fleeing from the cops, trying to clearly harm other people.
Phoenix police arrested a 39-year-old man who posted a video of a fake terrorist attack on YouTube using his 16-year-old nephew.
I want to find out how safe I really am, and I want to know the response time of the Phoenix Police Department.
Rangers at Lake Powell looking for two separate missing persons.
The person was swimming. He was not wearing a life jacket. One that was on Monday, the person went to assist another boat that was in distress.
Arizona farmers and ranchers forced to sell livestock because of the drought getting some help.
Farmers and ranchers who, due to the current drought situation, that had to sell livestock are able to defer tax on any extra gains from those sales.
George Tanner, Arizona News.
This KFNX traffic check is brought to you by Allstate. Got a couple of accidents out in the Phoenix roadways. One to report, Cave Creek Road north of Loop 101. In Maricopa, Highway 347 northbound north of Highway 238. And in Chandler, Almaskew Road at West Ray Road. Get quality Allstate car insurance at an affordable price. Check out the Allstate Value Plan. To get a quote, find an agent near you at Allstate.com. Now here's your afternoon forecast.
Jim Howell from the KFNX Weather Center, continuing as we wrap up the month of September with mid to upper 90s for daytime highs. Very pleasant overnight lows in the mid 70s. Miriam's moisture mainly remains south of the state this weekend. We'll probably see a few isolated thunderstorms in the southern deserts. Jim Howell, Independent Talk, 1100 KFNX.
Thanks, Jim. Currently in Midtown, we're at 95 degrees. Next news in 30 minutes or when it breaks. You're listening to Independent Talk, 1100 KFNX. I'm James Hennett, and you're up to date.
811, know what's below. 811,
what is he going on about? That song is driving me crazy.
Today at school, one of his friends told him about Call Before You Dig. You know, 811.
Right. Utility lines can be buried in yards, under streets, alleys, even beneath vacant land. It's dangerous and possibly very expensive to hit one of those lines. Calling 811 gets your utility lines marked for free.
811, know what's below. 811, know what's below.
You're starting to sound like him.
811, know what's below.
Brother.
Your safety is our priority. At Southwest Gas.
I'm Professor Burke from the University of Farmers, and this is a pop quiz. What's the best way to find out what your auto policy covers? A, smash your car up and see how much your insurance pays, or B, talk to a farmer's agent and see if you have the coverage you want. The answer is B. Please don't attempt A. That's just crazy town.
If you want answers about auto insurance, you want a farmer's agent. We are insurance.
We are farmers. Bum, ba, bum, 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 bum.
To speak with a farmer's agent in your community, call 888-96-FARMERS.
When I grew up,
you're out of order.
I want to be a lawyer just like you.
You're out of order.
Good for you, son.
The whole trial is out of order.
If there's one thing America needs,
they're out of order.
It's more lawyers.
Oh. You got my pride hanging out of my bed.
Oh, welcome to Legalese. This is Jack Wilenchek filling in for Dennis Wilenchek. And we have a very busy show for you today, so I'm going to get right to it. Our guest for the first half of the show is Gerald Celente, a man you may have heard of. He's famous for making predictions and forecasts, and not least of which for being on the Oprah show. I saw that Oprah called him always terrific. So, Gerald, are you on the phone with us?
I'm here.
Hey, good to hear you. Listen, you've been called the modern-day Nostradamus. You've got predictions ranging from everything, everything, really. I mean, you predicted the rise of Starbucks, various economic... You predicted the current economic recession, and I think you predicted a crash back in the 80s, too. How did you get into doing this?
Well, it's a very long story, but I began my career at a graduate school running political campaigns in Westchester County, which richest county in the United States. And I was really good at it, so they sent me up to Albany, and I was the assistant to the secretary of the New York State Senate. And that was the worst job I ever had. And you know, a guy that, you know, grew up in the Bronx and Yonkers, to watch grown men grovel all day long to suck their way up to the top, it wasn't the kind of thing that I liked to do.
Speaking of which, we'll be having somebody running for the House of Representatives here in the last segment of the show.
Well, I'm a political atheist. You know, I don't believe in this stuff, you know.
Yeah.
I don't believe in the two-headed, one-party system. To me, it's, you know, it's the Gambinos, the Bananos, Lansky, Schultz, Republicans, Democrats, You know, it's all the same. Yeah, so
right.
I was there.
Pets and Avanti,
I also taught and designed American politics and campaign technology at St. John's University. And for several years, I worked in D.C. as a government affairs specialist. In the beginnings of the PAC days, I used to put them together for the chemical industry. And one of our chief writers at the Trends Journal, by the way, is Dr. Paul Craig Roberts. And he was the former assistant treasury secretary under Reagan. So, you know, we're guys that, you know, we know what it looks like. You know, we've been there.
Yeah. Yeah.
And what happened was in the 70s, when the Iranian conflict was breaking out, and Jimmy Carter came back from Iran and said that the Shah was the island of stability in the Middle East, that's really when I became a political atheist. And I watched the whole country, you know, get caught up in the propaganda thing. You know, everybody forgetting, you know, the little subtext about the Shah being this brutal dictator, the Savak, the secret police, how all the intellectuals and artists were either killed or locked up, and how the United States and the MI5 in England over there overthrew the democratically elected government of Mossadegh in 1953, because this guy, Mossadegh, had the nerve to throw out British Petroleum, in those days it were called Anglo-Iranian, and Standard Oil, which is now, of course, Exxon. So they couldn't have any of that. So anyway, when Carter came back and said that the Shah was the island of stability in the Middle East, you know, and I saw through the political BS. I'd been around long enough. And then I said to myself, what will be the implications? What will this mean? And I realized that gold and oil prices would go up. And I started speculating. I didn't know what I was doing. I was like 30 years old at the time. And I started speculating in gold and oil futures. And I made enough money to quit my job. And I began the Trends Research Institute with the understanding that current events form future trends. You can see how tomorrow's going to shape up. You can't predict it. There are wild cards. You know, there are Katrinas, there's, you know, earthquakes, there's psychopaths starting wars. You can't see, but you can see the general direction. But what happens is most people get caught up in their ideology. They look at things the way they want them to be, the way they like them, the way they wish and hope, rather than what is. And I just look at the what is. As right. I said, I'm a political atheist. I don't have any skin in this game. I'm like going to a doctor, you get a diagnosis, that's it. And most people can't do that, because you turn on CNBC, that guy, what's his name, Kurt Kiernan or whatever, he took a cheap shot at me yesterday, said I believed in Armageddon was going to happen. I never said that. I said that the world financial system is collapsing is what I said. But they have an agenda. They have to make it look good. They got to get you to invest in their crap. So that's what they do. Or else they're looking at it one-dimensionally.
All right.
They're only looking at economics. They're not looking at geopolitics. They're not looking at social change. They're not looking at kids getting degrees in worthlessness and having to move home.
Yeah. You know, I'm glad you brought that up. That is a big problem. I read somewhere, I think it was a book by Thomas Friedman, you know, with the New York Times, was saying that there's so many kids these days who, instead of getting degrees in something like engineering or mathematics, I got a degree in mathematics, so, you know, I tried to get a degree in something useful, but you got so many kids these days that are getting degrees in, you know, English literature and psychology or communications. It's building up to a big problem in the future because we're not going to have that core group of engineers and people who are developing things that going forward is what, you know, really builds a country, which leads to technological innovation and that kind of thing. So I take it that's what you're talking about.
Well, yes and no, in the sense that the whole college industrial complex is just that. I wrote a book, Trends 2000, back in 1996. A Warner book was a bestseller. And I wrote about the re-extended family, how kids would be forced to move back into their houses, into their families' homes, you know, three generations living under one roof because of the declining economy, because they're shipping off all the jobs. And because, you see, they've changed the laws. When I was a young guy growing up, there was no Walmarts or Targets. There were two Macy's, one in Herald Square and one up in Yonkers. They've taken away the laws that allowed this country to become entrepreneurs. From the 19th to 20th century, you had presidents like Roosevelt that didn't want the robber barons stealing everything. say the Clayton Antitrust Act, the Sherman Antitrust Act, the Robinson-Patman Act. It prohibited the bigs from gobbling up the whole game. And then they slowly, it began actually under Carter. Carter started deregulating the banking industry, the airline industry, one after another. And then it went into high gear, really under Clinton. And so what happened was the bigs gobbled up everything. So now you don't have those opportunities for manufacturing. You don't have those opportunities for job creation of entrepreneurs. And you nailed it as well. Oh, that degree in foreign relations from George Washington University, oh, that'll get you really far. You know, so
it'll help you deal with the Chinese who are going to, you know, take over.
But how many do you need, you know? And so what I'm saying is that the college industrial complex with these huge stadiums with a bunch of, you know, courses in worthlessness, degrees in worthlessness, is not serving the nation. And then you look again. Look at the current events. You see the latest SAT scores that came out?
No.
They're at 1972 levels.
Yeah.
You want to look at the education levels in the U.S.? In the OECD metrics, we don't win, place, or show.
All right, well, let's get to some of your other predictions here, if you don't mind laying them on the audience's ears here. Your journal, the Trends Journal, has the tagline, History Before It Happens. And, you know, you've got a little bit of a teaser on your website where you talk about, if I can bring this up here, you talk about the next 4 years, the first great war of the 21st century. And, you know, I can only read a couple pages into this, but tell us what is that prediction about?
It's going on in front of us. There's a civil war in Libya. There's a civil war in Syria. There's a civil war in Yemen. There's a civil war in Bahrain. There's total chaos going throughout Europe, in Spain, in Portugal. Millions of people taking to the streets. Millions just yesterday. Oh, and also in Greece. And then you keep looking around the world. You go over to Egypt. You think there's any solving of the problem there with the new government? No, because you have basically most of the people living on between $4 and $10 a day, 80 million of them, in a country that could probably support 20 million. And then you go over to Tunisia, same story. You go around the world. It's a variation on the same theme. Then you're talking about, well, every couple of days we hear about, is Israel going to attack Iran? Is the United States going to get involved in it?
All right, we'll come back to this right after the break. I apologize to get you started there before we got to go. We're talking to Gerald Celente, who is a very, very, very well-known trends and forecaster. I want to call him like a fortune teller, but it's much more than that. This is Jack Wilenchek on Legalese on KFNX 1100.
Is your website at the top of Google? Go to SEOPhoenix.com for a free search engine optimization report. SEO Phoenix is the only company in Arizona to offer a search engine ranking guarantee. That's right, guaranteed. We are Arizona's SEO rock stars. Grow your business and get to the top. Go to SEOPhoenix.com for your free SEO report. That's SEOPhoenix.com, SEOPhoenix.com.
As a student and teacher of dance for more than 20 years, JAD's mission is to create a rich learning environment for the advancement of an art that can transform people's lives. Visit dancewithchad.com today and choose the dance class that best suits your lifestyle. Email us today. That's Chad at dancewithchad.com. If you have a desire to learn how to dance and have an open mind, Chad can teach anyone, anywhere, anytime. Log on today. That's dancewithchad.com.
Here's an easy way to protect your memories, protect your brain, boost your brain power. Very special offer that's only available to our listeners. Call in the next 10 minutes. You'll qualify to receive a free bottle of Prevagen when you order two. That's right. Buy two, get the third bottle absolutely free. And by mentioning this program, you'll also get free shipping and handling. This is a fantastic offer. The number to call is 1-888-928-0028.
Dr. Bob, I also wanted to offer one extra thing, if I may. I want to include an absolutely free copy of our Brain Health Guide to anyone that calls in and orders today. And if you call in today, as a senior citizen, we're going to offer you a very special discount. People want to have practical advice to help understand what's going on with their brain.
You need to call to get started on Prevagen for a healthier brain, sharper mind, and clearer thinking. It's 1-888-928-0028. And look, you have absolutely nothing to lose because Prevagen is guaranteed to be safe and effective or your money back. 1-888-928-0028.
The Lars Larson Show is on the air.
If you were president of the United States and your military people came to you and said, we have found bin Laden, we can go and get him now. How many nanoseconds would it take the average American to say, go, bring him back dead or alive, doesn't matter to me. If you can get it done, get it done. The president took 16 hours to make that decision.
Tune in to the Lars Larson Show, late nights on KFNX.
Right now at MyTrade America, you can get a barter line of credit from $2,000 to $50,000 with nil credit check. We'll help you boost your business big time to lower your cash costs and generate new sales. With services available like advertising, website design, signage and bookkeeping, and personal services like restaurant, auto repair, and vacation rentals. Get the barter line of credit you need today, $2,000 to $50,000 at MyTrade America, MyTradeAmerica.com. Fees and restrictions apply.
I'm hiding in Honduras. I'm a desperate man. Send lawyers, guns, and money.
Welcome back to Legalese. This is Jack Wilencheck, and we're talking to Gerald Celente, who's a very well-known forecaster of the Trends Journal and the Trends Research Institute. Gerald, welcome back to the show.
Oh, thanks, Jack.
Absolutely. All right, let's get to the big issues in everybody's mind. Who's going to win the election?
Well, we wrote in the Trends Journal on October 3rd, 2011, that if the presidential reality show were to be held back then, because that's all it is to me, it's a presidential reality.
I like that.
If anybody watched the conventions, it was half, you know, NFL Super Bowl halftime show and
right.
A mega church revival meeting. We said that if the Republican leaders at that time, any one of them, and at that time it was Romney, Bachman, and Perry, if any of those three were at the leading the race, it would be Obama.
Yeah.
Because again, I'm not. By the way,
I find it hard to disagree.
I'm two things I want to mention. First of all, the motto of the Trends Journal is think for yourself. I don't tell anybody what to believe. This is the way we see it. We're not telling anybody what to believe. This is why we see it, and we go on from there. The second thing is, and I know people's first reactions say, oh, how could he say that? I'm not voting in this election. I don't vote for lesser of two evils. I don't go out with lesser of two evils. I don't do business with lesser of two evils. I don't hang out with lesser of two evils. I'll be damned if I will vote for lesser of two evils to run my country and run my life. So having said that, the reason why we're saying Obama will win is because it's the presidential reality show. And he's a better actor than Romney.
Mm.
That's all this is. It's theater.
Yeah.
When you break it down between the two of them, you know, there's not a lot of difference. Oh, they say things differently. But it's like voting for, you know, the new president of the country club. I want to build tennis courts. Well, I'm going to make the swimming pool bigger. Yeah, I mean, that's all it is. So we're looking at, in the absence, by the way, in the absence of a catastrophic event,
right.
You know, a wild card, we're calling Obama, and we have for over a year now.
No, I like that. I like the comparison to a reality show, and I think that's what it has been for a lot of people. That's what it's been in the major media. There's a lot of focus on a lot of things that don't matter, like you know, a lot of gaffes, and there's always the focus on gaffes. But to me, it seems like it's the worst it's ever been in this election.
Jack, I've been at this for 32 years. I mentioned to you I began my career in politics.
Yeah.
I've never seen such a disgraceful show like this one.
Yeah.
Here's Obama. He goes to the UN yesterday. He can't meet with world leaders. Can't make it, man. I got to be on The View. I got to be on The View.
Exactly, yeah.
I mean, what are you kidding? They're on Leno. They're on The View. And you know what I loved about the presidential reality show? How the wives got out there and said how great their husbands are. You know, I never heard a woman talking about how great their husbands are in all my life like these women talk about these guys. I mean, really, whoever he is, anybody. And hey, this is a job. I don't care about your family. I don't care about your wife. Could you imagine going for a job and your wife going with you to say how great you are?
That's right.
No, this is comedy, and the sad thing is, it's so serious.
Yeah.
Because we have unqualified people that are leading this nation into destruction. Everything they touch, you name the party. Hey, how about those weapons of mass destruction and ties to Al-Qaeda? Yeah, I just bought some last week. I mean, come on. You know, they'll take you to war, they'll steal your money, and they'll ruin your lives. And people accept it. That's why I'm not voting. Let's go down the list. Education. I just mentioned to you how wonderful we're doing. Just hit a new low at SAT numbers. How about the war on drugs? Isn't that a wonderful one? $1 trillion later, jails filled up with minor offenders. It's working great. How about health care? Love it. It's terrific. We spend the most in the world and get the least. How about the military? Oh, terrific. I got an idea. Let's start a war in Afghanistan, keep it going for 10 years, and then we'll leave having accomplished nothing. Or better yet, let's go into Iraq. We'll go there, lose $1 trillion, kill 1 million people, destroy the country, get more people to hate us, and then we'll start a war in Libya. Hey, wonder why they attacked the consulate. It's that film, I tell you. So anyway, that's why, to me, I'm not voting.
Yeah.
I will not be a part of this corrupt system any longer.
Well, you know, I do want to ask you a question. I was, you know, kind of perusing the internet, you know, reading about the Trends Journal and the Trends Research Institute, which you're involved with. And I saw somewhere you were doing something about direct democracy. And I have to ask you what that is, direct democracy. If I had to guess, you're predicting that in the future people are going to vote like, you know, for a major election, kind of like they do, you know, like they like something on Facebook, like over email or the internet, right?
Well, sure. If you could bank online, why can't you vote online? And
yeah.
Then they're going to say, well, they could rig the system. Yeah, like now. You
know,
you can have it totally transparent.
Yeah.
Now, but really, if you could bank online and trillions of dollars could be exchanged throughout the world, we could vote online. In Switzerland, it's direct democracy. People say, oh, that's a small country. It doesn't matter if 1 million people vote or 300 million or 100 million people vote. They're voting on an issue. You want to go to war? Let the people vote. I don't need a guy like McCain coming out and telling me what to do or anybody else. I don't need anybody to think for me.
Okay,
I'm an intelligent guy, so let's vote on issues.
Right.
You want to bail out the banks? Let the people vote.
You're taking a step further. You're saying people should directly vote on major issues and major pieces of legislation.
You got it.
Wow, that's a scary thing to me.
Switzerland, and check out Switzerland. Food's good, nice place to visit. Everybody has guns, they don't kill each other. Highest standard of living in the world. And they haven't been in a war since about 1837.
Don't you think it's a scary thing, though? I mean, if we worry about people focusing on the wrong things in, like, a big presidential election, like, you know, who says what, who's on The View, don't you think it's kind of a scary thing, then, to have...
Scary thing now for the people that are in charge. How about that guy that says, you know, he's running for senator in Missouri about, you know, hey, if a woman gets raped, don't worry, it'll be an... immaculate conception. I mean, look at the lunatics you have out there, one after another.
Yeah, that's a good point. Yeah, you get the same thing anyway, so why not just do it faster?
We'll get the future we
over the internet.
We'll get the future we deserve, right
yeah.
or wrong,
yeah.
rather than a gang of 535 telling 312 million people how to tie their shoes. And think about what they're doing now and how they're ruining the economy. Where's the economy going? Hey, they just did some more QE3. Yeah, guess who's making the dough? The banks. The interest rates went down a little bit, but the banks are still making a lot more money. Oh, QE2 and QE1. How much money did they dump into the system? Oh, try $23 trillion? Who got the money? The banks. The too big to fails got bigger. Where's the economy going? It's only going to get worse. And that's why I don't tell people what to invest in or what to think, but that's why I've been forecasting since the gold bull run when I first forecasted in 2001. It's right on our webpage. The article's there, trendsjournal.com, on the forecast page, the beginning of the gold bull run. My forecast is this, Jack. if gold stays above the 1770 level for extended period, you know, a couple of weeks, 3 weeks or so, and stays above that strongly, the next gold bull run begins, because all of the governments around the world, the Europeans, the Chinese, the Japanese, the U.S., they're all dumping this digital money, not worth the paper it's printed on, to prop up the failing world economy.
Well, you know, you beat me to it. That was going to be my last question. When are we going to get out of the recession? We both know, you know, everything goes up, everything goes down. So when are we going to go back up?
Well, this is going down unless they change the things. And again, as I said, how could it change? Bring back the regulations, the Glass-Steagall Act, that prohibited the bankers from becoming casinos that gamble, and then when they lose their bets, we have to pay them off. That was under Clinton. Bring back the Robinson-Patman Act, the Sherman Antitrust Act, the Clayton Antitrust Act. You know, in the old days, let's say you were going to open up a shop and you were going to sell glassware, and you went to the manufacturer and said, I want to buy 8 dozen of these. And I went in and I said, I want to buy 800 dozen. Guess what? We both get the same price. That's why those acts were put in place, to make the level, the playing field really level. And let's put back the trade barriers that Clinton pulled down and Bush pulled down. You know when the World Trade Center, you know when the Chinese got into the World Trade Organization? 2 weeks after 9/11, when nobody was watching. With NAFTA, remember they were going to create a higher standard of living? Our standard of living has gone down. Put in place the barriers that prohibit the slave labor countries from dumping their products over here and having a few manufacturers who are doing the business make all the dough.
Well, you know, I guess the answer to our problems is the law, which was a surprising answer for me being a lawyer, but to change the law, huh?
They changed the law.
All right, I want to thank Gerald Celente. Man, you're great. Thanks so much for coming on the show. You're with the Trends Journal and the Trends Research Institute. You want to throw out the web address real quick?
TrendsJournal.com, and the new autumn edition of the Trends Journal will be out shortly.
All right, good deal. This is KFNX 1100 Independent Talk.
Coverage you can count on around the clock. News, Jim Howell on weather, and the KFNX traffic team. Independent Talk, 1100 KFNX.
News Radio, I'm Paige Hopkins. Working class struggles came into focus as the presidential candidates brought their campaigns to Ohio today. Mitt Romney says he's got what it takes to help the middle class.
What they want to know is, who's going to make their life better? Who's going to make sure we have more jobs? Who's going to make sure we have more take-home pay?
President Obama resorted to sarcasm in attacking the Romney plan, which the president says will not spare American jobs from being shipped overseas.
I want to see us export more jobs, export more products. Excuse me. I was channeling my opponent there for a second.
The president's plane had aborted a landing at Toledo Airport because of turbulence. The plane landed safely a few minutes later. A mixed report on the U.S. housing market, along with European unrest, managed to pull down U.S. stocks. The Dow lost 44 points, the S&P was down 8, and the NASDAQ dropped 24. This is NBC News Radio.
Arizona News Radio, an illegal alien tried to gain entry into the Palo Verde nuclear plant using a false driver's license.
This is the nation's largest nuclear power facility, and here you have illegals, aliens trying to get in there. That is a security issue.
He was part of a construction crew. Tempe police detective testifies in the case of Elizabeth Johnson in the custodial interference case. They said they looked at a Scottsdale church to find the missing baby.
I've been provided information in the briefing that he had been disposed of in a trash receptacle.
And were you able to find anything of evidentiary value at that location?
No, I was not.
A 72-year-old Tennessee man dies hiking out of the Grand Canyon.
The Bright Angel Trail is relatively steep. And the, you know, the closer to the rim you get, the steeper it becomes.
A 39-year-old man arrested for posting a fake terror attack on YouTube.
When he posted that on YouTube, what he did was he made it clear what his intent was and what he meant to do on July 28th.
George Tanner, Arizona News.
This KFNX traffic check is brought to you by 99 Cent Only Stores. Got a few accidents out around the Phoenix area. One at Cave Creek Road north of Loop 101. Also a couple in Chandler, I-10 eastbound east of Riggs Road, and also at Alma School Road west of Ray Road. And if you're in Maricopa, there's an accident in the right lane, Highway 347 northbound north of Highway 238. It's game time at 99 Cent Only Stores. Feed your hungry fans those halftime snacks. Pick up chips, pretzels, and popcorn for only 99.99 cents each. Now here's your afternoon forecast.
Jim Howell from the KFNX Weather Center, continuing as we wrap up the month of September with mid to upper 90s for daytime highs. Very pleasant overnight lows at the mid 70s. Miriam's moisture mainly remains south of the state this weekend. We'll probably see a few isolated thunderstorms in the southern deserts. Jim Howell, Independent Talk, 1100 KFNX.
Thanks, Jim. Currently in Midtown, we're at 95 degrees. Next news in 30 minutes or when it breaks. You're listening to Independent Talk, 1100 KFNX. I'm James Hennett, and you're up to date.
Plenty of medals were given to some overachieving and well-deserved athletes recently in London. When it comes to fair, honest, and reliable service, there is a deserving gold medalist right here in your own backyard, Virginia Auto Service. If you live or work downtown, get gold medal service for your car right on the corner of 7th Street in Virginia. A Bosch service center, A-plus rated with the BBB, boot to bonnet. Oh, you know what I mean, bumper to bumper. Virginia Auto Service knows how to take care of their customers. See them online at virginiaautoservice.com.
Is your home underwater? Do you owe more on your home than it's worth? I'm JR with Realty Central. How about if I told you I would arrange a free legal consultation for you to meet with a law firm that specializes in underwater mortgages? They'll meet with you for free. I know you have lots of questions, like should you stop paying your mortgage? Can the bank come after you? If you would like the free legal consultation, please call or text this number, 602-405-1011. That's 602-405-1011.
Did you know short sales can erase all home loan debt?
Don't walk away. Many banks and the government now pay sellers to complete short sales.
I'm Rick Elton.
And I'm Dave Elton. Elton Realty has served the Valley for over 15 years.
Every short sale is different. Outcomes are not guaranteed.
Call for a free consultation that best serves your situation and get a fresh start today.
480-451-3318. That's 480-451-3318.
Or visit eltonrealty.com.
The Phoenix housing market is finally hot again. And if you're under contract to buy a house and you're afraid your current lender cannot close on time, you need to give us a call today. We're Alliance Financial Resources, and we're a local mortgage bank, and we've got great rates, we've got great communication, and we've got the speed you need to close on time. Give us a call for your approval today. 602-772-3154. Again, 602-772-3154. We're an equal housing lender.
You have the right to remain silent. If you give up the right to remain silent, anything you say can and will be used against you in a court of law. You have the right to speak with an attorney.
Get me my lawyer!
And to have the attorney present during questioning. If you so desire and cannot afford one, an attorney will be appointed for you.
Welcome back to Legalese.
You understand each of these rights.
Maybe I should wait until he reads your Miranda rights here. This is Jack Willinchek, and our next two guests for the rest of the show here, we have Kathy Herod, who's the president of the Center for Arizona Policy Issues in this segment. In the next segment, we're honored to have Kirsten Sinema, who's running for the House of Representatives in Congress for Congressional District 9. So, Kathy, are you on the line with us? Are you there? I guess we're still waiting for Kathy. Or do we have
Hello?
Her? Hey, is this Kathy Herod?
Yes, hi, it's Kathy Herod.
Hi, Kathy, welcome to the show.
Thank you.
All right, what we're going to be talking about is this new Proposition 115, which is a topic near and dear to the hearts of many lawyers. It has to do with how judges are selected. Do you want to just give a background to the audience on exactly what this proposition is going to do?
Sure. Prop 115 is a measure intended to make merit selection stronger. Arizona has what's called merit selection, is how judges are selected. There's a commission process for judges at the appellate and Supreme Court level, and then in the three largest counties. And so a commission interviews, selects applicants, then they nominate judicial nominees to the governor, and then the governor picks from one of these people. So the point of the concern is that those who support merit selection would say that it's taking politics out of merit selection or made it less political, that it's one of the best models in the country for how we select judges. Those who have concerns about merit selection would say that the process is about half political, half merit now, and that you have a lot of power being put in unelected commissioners. So the intent of 115, it's a consensus measure. It was supported by the State Bar of Arizona, the Arizona Judicial Council, the Arizona Judges Association. The intent is to have a consensus measure that creates more transparency and accountability in the way we select judges.
All right, that's a mouthful.
Yeah, sorry.
Well, yeah, so to make it real simple for the audience, in a lot of counties right now, judges get elected.
Right.
For example, I think it's that way in Coconino County, right?
Up there. Well, it's a population threshold, and so Maricopa, Pima, and now Pinal County do not elect judges. The other 12 counties do elect judges.
Right. The way we do it here in Maricopa County is called a merit selection system, meaning that there's a certain group of people, I think right now it's made up, it's a committee that's appointed by the state bar, right?
Well, it's five attorneys, 10 public members. The attorneys, the state bar gives the names to the governor. The public members are appointed by the governor and confirmed by the Arizona Senate.
Right. So they come up with the names of judges that then go to the governor, and the governor picks from those names and appoints the actual judges.
Right.
So the way this is going to change things is that it's going to take that system that right now we just have here in Maricopa County. You said there's another county, too. You said there's two counties where you have
Three counties, Maricopa, Pima, and Pinal.
Right. So this proposition is going to take the merit selection system and make it statewide.
No, not at all. It doesn't change that at all. What it does is it changes how the commission is composed, and it changes the number of names that the commission gives to the governor. So, for example, right now five lawyers are on the commission. That doesn't change. What does change is the State Bar of Arizona gives the governor three names for each of those attorney vacancies. Well, under the new, if Prop 115 passes, the governor could appoint any attorney she wants for four of those five positions, and the Senate has to confirm. So it's reducing the power of the state bar, which is what every attorney who practices in Arizona has to be a member of the State Bar of Arizona. So it reduces the power of the State Bar of Arizona, in a sense, gives that to the governor, the duly elected representative of the people, with confirmation by the Senate. So as far as the attorney members that go on, so it changes that. But the key thing it does is that the commission right now has to give at least three names to the governor, and then the governor picks one of those three names. Well, Prop 115 would require these commissions to give more names to the governor. So when we say that the commissions are determining who's a meritorious pick, but they're saying only three of these are meritorious, well, there are more than that are meritorious. So give more names to the governor. Let the governor, who's elected by the people, then pick from a larger pool of nominees rather than restricting the governor's choice. So that's how, we believe it creates more accountability. It reduces the influence of the insiders and really just brings more transparency and accountability by having a yes vote on 115.
Yeah, I guess, first of all, I didn't realize this is not going to be so statewide. So this will still just apply to those three counties that we named earlier, Maricopa, Pinal, and Pima.
No, it's Arizona Supreme Court, the Arizona Court of Appeals, and then the three counties where they select their judges through merit selection.
Right, that's a good point. The Arizona Supreme Court goes through the system as well.
Right, so for example, to put it in practical terms, the governor, there's a vacancy right now in the Arizona Supreme Court. The Commission on Appellate Court Appointments has given Governor Brewer three names, three nominees. The governor has to pick one of those three. Yet there were like 14 people that applied. I think nine were interviewed, and the commission could have sent the governor five names, but they decided to pick only three names. And so it's like, so why should an unelected commission only send the governor three names when they could have sent five names and given the governor more choice and let the governor make that decision? So, right now, an unelected commission basically is dictating what the governor does. So if you look back over I don't have the statistics in front of me, but you look back over the last few judicial nominations on the Arizona Supreme Court, where you had like maybe 30 people apply, but only five people were under consideration by the governor because the commission just renominates the same people.
Right.
So I know this gets in the weeds a lot really easily, and merit selection and judicial selection in Arizona is very complicated. Everything is in the state constitution. So what we need to emphasize is that 115, it is complicated. There are a lot of different provisions to it. But the key is, it was a consensus bipartisan measure. It was a bipartisan vote in the Arizona House and the Arizona Senate to put it on the ballot. It got support by Governor Brewer, the State Bar of Arizona, the Arizona Judicial Council, the Arizona Judges Association. So the judges, the attorney, the elected officials, groups like Center for Arizona Policy, all support it.
Yeah, I guess that's the sense that I'm getting here. This is really, in a lot of ways, this is just some key tweaks to the system. It's not, although I did see something about how the two parties don't have to be equally represented now in the nominations.
Well, that's another good point. Right now, you have to. It has to be. You can't have more than I think a 60% of nominees from one party. So, for example, the three candidates that are before the governor for the Arizona Supreme Court vacancy. Two are Republican, one is a Democrat. And so you have, so why should that matter? Why should party affiliation matter? And let the governor pick who's the, you know, what does party affiliation have to do with merit? And so let the governor pick which is the most meritorious candidate, the most qualified candidate, and not say, well, it has to be this party division.
Yeah. You know, I got to say, just based on my personal experience as a lawyer, that I do think the merit selection is absolutely a wonderful system, in that it does produce some extremely qualified judges. You know, when my dad used to talk about how way back when in Maricopa County they did have an election kind of system, and I won't necessarily say that produces poor judges, but it does produce a different caliber of judge because, you know, then you got to be the kind of judge who can get elected. You got to be, you know, kind of a character is what he used to say. A lot of the judges back then were characters. You know, they're kind of funny and, you know.
Well, and this is not election of judges. This is not doing away with merit selection. It's really making merit selection stronger. It's in the issue is, you know, you can't change anything with merit selection without going to a vote of the people, because everything is in the state constitution. So to improve transparency, to change the mix of party affiliation, to change, you know, who the State Bar of Arizona can put on the commission, all of that has to be approved by the voters. And so the intent of this, it's why it's a consensus measure, and like all consensus measures, not everyone got what they wanted, but it's at least a step forward in making merit selection stronger.
Absolutely. All right, we got to go to our break here.
Okay.
But, go ahead.
Okay, that's it. Thank you.
Yeah, thank you. That's Kathy Herod from the Center for Arizona Policy Issues. And when we come back for the break, we'll be talking to Kirsten Sinema, who's running for the House of Representatives in Congressional District 9. This is 1100 KFNX Independent Talk.
After all the stories about Barack's, the car they had, and you could see the ground when they drove in it. It was so rusted out at the bottom. Or he liked to move the old coffee table. And he had shoes that were too tight. And he helps Malia with her homework. And after all those stories, do you feel the robust recovery more today than you did yesterday?
Catch the Laura Ingraham Show Monday through Friday at 6 a.m. on KFNX.
You know, most computer problems are too complicated to handle by yourself. That's why it's important to have the name of an honest, competent technician on hand. The next time you're in a jam, call Dean the Computer Guy at 602-620-0258. Dean provides sales and service, maintenance and repair for small to medium-sized businesses, even remote access 24/7. Now that's service. Call Dean the Computer Guy at 602-620-0258 or online at deanthecomputerguy.com. Dean the Computer Guy, the official computer guy for KFNX Radio.
There's nothing more desirable and rare than a piece of vintage jewelry.
I couldn't agree more.
And for the finest collection and lowest prices in estate jewelry, shop London Gold.
Classic watches with diamond bezels, elegant designs in precious stones, diamond rings, bracelets, earrings.
Ageless designs from the world's iconic designers. Names you know. Purchased from estates, their luster restored, and placed on sale at remarkable prices. London Gold is also the name you know and depend upon for the finest in today's jewelry. If you're looking for an engagement ring, then London Gold is your first stop. We sell diamonds around the world, and when you buy from us, not only will you get the diamond she'll love, but you'll pay the very same direct diamond dealer price. So for the latest in today's jewelry,
or estate jewelry,
shop London Gold with three valley locations, Arrowhead, Chandler, Scottsdale,
or online at londongold.com.
London Gold, it's the best.
A break in the rocks in the monster. I fought the law in the law. I fought the law in the law.
Welcome back to Legalese. This is Jack Wilinchek, and for the last segment of our show here, we're going to be talking to Kirsten Sinema, who's running for the House of Representatives in Congressional District 9. Do we have Kirsten on the phone yet?
We do. I'm right here.
Hey, there she is. Welcome to the show, Kirsten.
It's great to be here with you.
You know, we could go into great detail into your biography here. You know, unfortunately, we just have one segment to talk to you. But I do want to point out that in your bio, it says that you earned a full college scholarship and that you grew up kind of poor. And it says that your family lived in an abandoned gas station without water or electricity for 2 years.
Yeah, that's true.
That's wild.
Yeah, you know, my dad was an attorney when I was little in Tucson. My mom was a stay-at-home mom. You know, she never went to college after high school. She met my dad, fell in love, had three kids. And, well, you know, I mean, just kind of, we thought we were going to live the American dream. But in the early 1980s, my dad lost his job during the recession. And like a lot of families of our generation, you know, my parents got divorced. And after that, we went from being middle class to being really, really poor. And before you knew it, we lost our car. Although, who would repossess an orange El Camino is beyond me. But somebody did. So we lost the El Camino. We lost our house. And we three kids ended up living, you know, in this abandoned gas station with my mom. And my mom met a nice guy, a teacher, my stepfather. And it took a couple years for him to find a job. And for those 2 years, we didn't have running water. We didn't have electricity. We didn't even have a toilet. And sometimes we didn't have enough food to eat.
You know, I got to say, you hear it from politicians all the time about how they, you know, they had it tough growing up and that kind of thing. But this is a very real story of having it tough growing up, I got to say. All right, so,
the truth is, I mean, it is pretty tough, but I'm not alone.
Yeah.
There are a lot of kids in Arizona who are living in situations like that. If you lose your job, I mean, you know this, you can lose everything.
Did you grow up in Tucson?
Yeah, born and raised in Tucson.
I think I just saw in the news that Tucson is now one of the poorest major, you know, cities in America. Did you see that?
I think it's number six. It's the sixth poorest major city in the country. And Arizona is the sixth poorest state in the country. We're the sixth poorest state. Wow. One in five people in Arizona don't have enough food to eat on a regular basis.
Wow.
And amongst kids, that number's 1 in 4.
That's scary.
I know.
All right, so we'll spend another minute here on your background. I think I saw somewhere that you're a lawyer.
I am, although don't hold that against me. I try really hard not to practice law.
Hey, me too. That's why I do the radio gig.
Same thing. Well, you know, I was a social worker for a long time, for 8 years, and I used to work with kids and families up in Sunny Slope, which is actually the northern part of District 9.
Mm-hmm.
And I worked with families, kind of like my family, families
who
had hit,
kind of hit
rough times, and those kids were struggling. Sometimes they were hungry, sometimes they were homeless. And after a while, I got to tell you, I got fed up because I couldn't do enough to change things, you know.
Mm-hmm.
And I felt like these kids weren't getting a fair shot. I was lucky, you know. I got an academic scholarship, full scholarship to college. I got a Pell Grant. Because I was a poor kid, and I made it. I made it to middle class, but I saw a lot of kids not making it. And that's what made me decide to go to law school, was I thought, you know what, I'm going to go figure out how the rules work and figure out what I can do to help good people who are working hard.
You know, I got to say, I got my law degree less than a year ago, and I love that feeling that you're not powerless and that you can do something to change the government. And, of course, that's what voting is about, too. So those of you listening, you know, whatever side you may fall in this upcoming election, get out there and vote. You're running Congressional District 9, of course, which is that new, it's a new district, basically. I looked at the map. It's kind of taken, it covers a lot of Tempe and West Mesa, right?
Yes. It also covers all of Ahwatukee, parts of Chandler, and a big chunk of Phoenix, and Sunny Slope, which is where I started my career. So it's a very diverse district.
Yeah,
very,
absolutely.
Very diverse.
Absolutely. I saw that. So it kind of it goes up northwest, I guess, through Paradise Valley. And, you know, I don't know if you could – between Paradise Valley and Tempe and West Mesa and Sunny Slope, yeah, that's an extremely diverse district.
It is, but that's part of what I love about it because Arizona is also extremely diverse, right?
Mm-hmm.
Makes sense.
Yeah, absolutely. So you'll be taking over kind of from, David Schweiker, Kerry Mitchell represent a lot of that same area.
Yeah, that's a big chunk of it.
Yeah.
But also part of what used to be Ben Quayle's district and part of what used to be Ed Pastore's district. So it's kind of a combination of those three areas.
Right, absolutely. All right, so let me ask you, what are the big issues that you see coming up in this election?
Well, I'll tell you, first and foremost, people are concerned about the economy. They're worried about their jobs. They're worried about their future. They're worried about their kids' future. So there's going to be a lot of discussion in this election about education, Mr. Parker and I have some really different views about education, even though both of us really have similar stories in terms of how we got to college. We both went to community college, both got some Pell Grants, you know, kind of worked our way through. Mm-hmm. But we have a different idea about what it should be like for the next generation. And, you know, this is an important one for me. I teach at ASU now. I've been teaching there for about 10 years. And I got to tell you, most of my kids are from working-class families, and they just can't afford it. They cannot afford college because the rates are so expensive. Well, you know, you just finished law school.
Yeah.
You're going to have debt until you die, right?
Right.
Particularly if you're doing radio shows. I'm not sure. So, you know, I'm really worried about that. And, you know, I believe we've got to keep Pell Grants in place, keep Safford loans in place, keep funding public education. And Mr. Parker wants to eliminate the Department of Education. So that's a real area of difference between us. And I look forward to having a robust debate about, you know, our different views for the world and our different views for Arizona in particular.
You know, I've seen you've got some other issues here about the economy. For example, you support attracting alternative energy manufacturers to Arizona. I take it you're talking about solar power.
Yes. Now, not just solar power. I'm also interested in biomass. I'm interested in wind, whatever works. What I'm looking for is doing some investment. I support research and development dollars that help private businesses innovate and then create new marketable products that create jobs and help us develop a clean energy future. I think that's smart not just economically, but it also is smart from a security perspective because that reduces our dependence on the volatile Middle East foreign oil market. You know, I'd rather be free of those guys so we can just, you know, count on ourselves.
Yeah, absolutely. And I got to say, this race that you're walking into here is one of the most competitive races I think I read in the country. And already I'm seeing some of these ads popping up on TV. I saw
yeah.
one where I couldn't even hear what they were saying, but they just had this image of you. You kind of looked like you were the Emperor in Star Wars. You're like in blue and in space or something.
Yeah, that one is kind of I don't know quite what they're going for there. but, you know, that's unfortunately in today's climate, you know, my opponents spend their time attacking me instead of talking about their own vision for the future. And, you know, I just, as you know, I went through a really tough primary, just came out of that a couple weeks ago. And the good news is I came out strong. We had a very decisive victory. And all these same attacks were thrown against me in the primary. So I'm battle tested. I'm tough. I'm ready. And most importantly, I trust the voters to see through that kind of silly stuff and focus on the real issues that are facing our district because they are big. They're big and important.
Mm-hmm. Well, let's get some of the other big issues out there in the time we have remaining here. Where do you stand on the immigration debate?
You know, this is a tough one because, you know, here in Arizona, we're at ground zero for the immigration debate. And I think all of us would agree, regardless of our political party or affiliation, that Congress has totally failed in this arena. I mean, they've just failed. They're just not doing their job. And it's time for them to just, you know, get the courage together to solve this problem. And if I'm able to get to Congress, which I plan to do, I'll be working on this issue. So first and foremost, I think we got to take care of this DREAM Act. You know, as I mentioned to you, I was a social worker in Sunny Slope. I'm a teacher at ASU, and I got a lot of really, really bright kids, bright, bright kids, who don't realize until they're, you know, 16, 17, even 18, that's when their parents break it to them, hey, you don't have papers, you know?
Absolutely right.
And there's no path to papers for you. You got nothing. And these kids are just so smart. And we've already invested all this money in them through public education. My view is, hey, get those kids through school, give them some papers, and get them to work because they are a great economic resource for our community.
No, you're absolutely right. You know, my best friend has been here since he was 3 years old, and he had that exact same story. He went to high school with me, and he didn't even realize until he started applying to colleges. You know, he started asking his parents, well, hey, Mom and Dad, what's my Social Security number? They didn't have one because, you know, he was undocumented.
Oh, must have broken his heart, you know?
It's a sad, sad story, and I absolutely agree with you. Something needs to be done. Yeah, my best buddy is 27 years old now, and he's in deportation proceedings. I mean,
And what a waste. I mean, he's a smart guy. He could have just gotten out of law school and getting a job.
Absolutely.
Right? Gotten out of business school and be starting his own small business. The opportunities for these young people are just so great. And so I think one of the first things Congress should do is do what 85% of Americans believe, which is just pass the DREAM Act, get those kids a path to papers, and put them to work because they want to serve this country. and they're good. They're good, smart kids. So that's number one. I also think we got to address the larger issue. You know, one of the things I'm hearing, particularly from dairymen and the cotton growers and all the ag guys, and you know ag is a big part of Arizona's economy, these guys need a different visa program that fits their market. So right now we've got this old visa program from like 1986. It doesn't make any sense. It's, you know, it's 26 years old.
Right.
And it doesn't do anything to actually meet the labor and market demands in our country. So I support a market-based system where we have enough visas to fill the jobs that we need.
Absolutely. All right, we just got a few seconds left here, but Kirsten, is there anything else you want to get out to our audience?
Well, what I'd love to do is invite people to visit my website, kirstencinema.com, K-Y-R-S-T-E-N, last name Cinema, S-I-N-E-M-A.com. Read a little bit more about me. Feel free to contact me, ask some questions, and I'd love to have some help in this race.
All right. Thank you so much for coming on.
Oh, well, thank you.
This is Jack Wilenchek on Legalese signing off. Tune in to Michael Savage coming up next.
You are invited to listen to Follow the Bible at 6 p.m. every Sunday evening. Our program offers practical encouragement from the Word of God, which is our ultimate authority and source for spiritual growth. You can also find us anytime on the web at followthebibleministries.com.
Hi, folks. It's Dean Barber. If you've been listening to America's Wealth Management Show, you know about the importance of finding all of your options when it comes to taking Social Security. You also know the total amount of money at risk between the worst and the best time to begin taking Social Security could be over $100,000. To find out how much Social Security you could get, go to SocialSecurityPhoenix.com. That's SocialSecurityPhoenix.com. Then tune into America's Wealth Management Show every Saturday afternoon at 2. Join us and learn about important retirement topics.
Don't miss The Real Market with Harrison McLain Sundays at 10 a.m. The most important hour of unbiased, uncut, and uninterrupted real estate market news you will not hear anywhere else. The Real Market with Harrison McLain Sundays at 10 a.m.
You're listening to Independent Talk, 1100 KFNX, Cave Creek, Phoenix, a division of Premier Radio Station.